James chapter 2, starting at verse number 20. Please follow along as I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works, that when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." Amen. I ask you to put down your Bible, put down your devices. You're not turning to nobody. You're going to put it all down. I want you to just lift your hands up with me and look nowhere but up. And repeat after me, Lord, I'm trusting you because I'm all in. Lord, I'm trusting you because I'm all in. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Lord, I'm trusting you because I'm all in. But the focus here is I'm trusting in you. You know, the thing that we have to gain from this, and we've been looking at this epistle from James, chapter number 2, from verses 14 through 19, we have identified that our faith should move us to serve. And as we're serving, we're able to see the works, because God is not satisfied with us just saying that we have faith without the evidence of the faith being present. And what we saw last week was the need for us not to push anybody away who is in need. Because when folk come to God empty, they're supposed to leave full. Amen. And it is our job to allow those whom we encounter, and as God has sent our way, is not for us to allow them to leave the same way they came, but allow them to leave better and to be full because they've been in the presence of God. And what we're looking at today is something that some of us struggle with. Now, what do I mean by that? Many of us look more so at what we've identified as being an obstacle. Many of us see ourselves as our own obstacle. The obstacle can be, well, I'm not educated enough. I'm not articulate enough. I didn't come from the right place. Or I'm just too old. Now, the other thing that they look at is, if you only knew my history, there's no way in the world you'd ask me to do anything. You see, we're always looking for a reason for why we cannot. But I am thankful that James points out two individuals for us to look at, that when they heard the message of the word of God, and when they heard it and heard about what God had done in one scenario, and the other one had heard specifically from God, we're seeing that they had a decision to make. They could have continued to look at their obstacles. They could continue to look at what they were incapable of doing on their own and felt that whether God is there or not, can't this situation cannot change. You know, that's something for us to really check ourselves on. Because if we say we love the Lord and he's the head of our life, he's our all in all, he's this and he's that, and so on and so forth. But without God, you knew what you couldn't do. And now that you have God, you have not changed your thinking. You see, it's something for us to understand how we were on our own. And on our own, we do see limitations. On our own, we do see the impossibilities and things that cannot occur. But once you add God, and once God is injected into the situation. Once God is put at the forefront of the situation, then we have to be able to see it the way God can do it. Because God wouldn't have made it possible unless he was going to bring upon change. Because all of us, even when we all come empty. We all come broken. We all come needing something. It's like all of us are pots of clay that have cracks in it, and we could never be able to hold water, and we can't understand why it wouldn't work. Well, it wouldn't work because you got cracks in your pot. But the one thing I like about God is that when we come to the Father through the Son, don't you know that blood finds a way to seal all the cracks so that we now can hold the water that God wants to give us? And the water I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can only come into something that is prepared for it to get there. And now that God has prepared the Holy Spirit in us to come into us, now we're able to do what we thought we couldn't do. You see, my brothers and my sisters, while we are all here today, we realize and recognize our lives are a whole lot different because we got Jesus in our lives. Amen. Amen. That should have been a time for everybody to say amen. You see, because it's because of Jesus all of us are able to do great things. It's because of Jesus that we're not what we used to be. It's because of Jesus certain doors have been opened. It's because of Jesus certain obstacles have been knocked out the way. It's because of Jesus. He's the one that shielded us from some stuff that should have did something else to us. So again, now that we have Jesus, we understand that which we thought we couldn't, now we know we can. And then I look here at this man called Abraham. James makes it a point to identify Abraham. You see, Abraham, as we know, was 75 years old when God called him. Obstacle. 75 years old, married and no kids. Obstacle. And then God said to him, come and go where I send you because I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Opportunity. But he could have still focused on his. The obstacle was, Deacon Jones, he is 75, married, and had no children. How am I going to be the father of many nations if I don't have any kids? And God is telling me to get up and go where he wants me to go. For what? He could have focused on the. But he heard the, which was the message from God. You see, all God wants to know is that will you be excited with the opportunity that I present to you through my word? Or will you focus on the obstacle of what you've been dealing with for umpteen years? You know, when I look at this man Abraham and I look at his wife Sarah, I know Sister Fee for a lot of years they were just hoping and praying and waiting and hoping and praying and waiting, hoping and praying and waiting, hoping. We ain't praying no more. We ain't hoping no more. The time has come. The time has passed. So since it ain't going to happen, we ain't no longer hoping and. Thank God none of us have gotten to that point. Thank God none of us have gotten to the point where we have been hoping and praying and it seemed like nothing changed. We've been hoping and praying and it seemed like nothing changed. So now when we come to church, we now just come here. We clap when we hear other folk clap. We say hallelujah when we hear other folks say hallelujah. But we're no longer hoping and praying because we feel that our time has come and our time has. And because of that, when God tells you there's still time, there's still opportunity, there's still a time for me to do something in your life. I know it didn't happen the way you want it to happen, but if you put your trust in me, I'll make the impossible happen in your life. All God don't want any of us to do, don't you stop hoping and. Don't you stop hoping and. You see, I want you to understand the reason why we're all here is that all of us are hoping and. Because we're moving forward by faith. So what has happened to Abraham? He took his wife, took his nephew. I ain't got no kids, but I'm taking a safety precaution. I got to have a backup plan. Because I'm not sure if God going to do what he going to do. So I'm going to step out on faith, God, but I'm going to still take this backup plan. Lot was the backup plan. Are you working with me? You see, and we see it took 25 years before the two of them were able to come together and have a child. And after God said it was going to happen, it excited Sarah. After God said it was going to happen, it excited Abraham. So they started again, what? Hoping and praying. But I want you to know, but after about 12 years, there wasn't a whole lot of hoping and praying. So Sarah said, here, take mine. Are you following me? God wasn't pleased with that choice. But you know the thing I love about our God? Even when we do some stupid stuff, God finds a way of showing us grace and mercy. God doesn't hold our mistakes against us. God doesn't beat us down forever. God is not always rubbing our faces in the mud. You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's why when we come up in God's house, we got to let God continue to cleanse us, bless us, heal us, deliver us. That's why when we come, we got to be transparent and say, Lord, you know I'm messed up. Because we want God to do something for us. Because we are still hoping and praying. And we've heard the message. And from the message, we now are focusing on the opportunity and not looking at our obstacle. And we're seeing that the two of them came together. They had a son. And now that the son is a teenager, I can see Abraham so excited about the whole situation. I now have my son with my wife. And he's excited and delighted and just tickled. And then God says, Abraham, I want you to take your son to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him to me. Could you imagine the whole mindset of Abraham? Abraham is like, wait a minute. God took us 25 years to have this boy. You know, you made something live again that I thought was dead in me and in my wife. You have done the impossible, and now that you've done the impossible, I'm excited about what you've done. But now you want to take that which you blessed me with, and you want me to take that and sacrifice it. He says, sure enough, it's time and where you go. And it's time for you to go right now. And at that point, he had a decision to make. He had a choice to make. He had to continue to walk by. Or to stop right where he was and say, Lord, that's just way too much for me to do. But I want you to understand something, my brothers and my sisters. When something comes way too much for us to do, we have to answer who is truly our God. What have we put in place of God? What have we made more important than doing the will of God? What have we made that's so important to us that it's more important than us doing the will of the one who woke us up this morning? When we look at what we have, what do we have that God ain't blessed us with? Your hair still grows, thank God. Well, my hair don't grow, thank God. You got skin still up there, amen? You're able to see. You got clothes on your back. You got food on your table. You got a roof over your head. You got a car to drive. You got money in your pocket. You're in your right mind. You can blink your eyelashes. You can hear with your ears. You can talk with your mouth. You can clap with your hands. You can walk with your feet. You are still able to do all this stuff. And then you look at what God is calling you to do and think that it's more important than God. Well, guess what? You wouldn't have got up this morning if God didn't. I want us all to understand, where would we be if we did not have the Lord? What's more important than serving God? So Abraham takes his son with a few servants and they travel 3 days' journey. And when they get close to the place where the sacrifice is to happen, he told his servants, y'all stay here. Me and the boy going on. And Reverend Flippin, as they're walking, Isaac is observing. He says, Daddy, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where is the? And what does Abraham reply? He says, the Lord. He says, the Lord will provide. Because what he has come to realize and recognize, I have been following God since I was 75. And what has happened is God has not failed me yet. But I have been times when I failed to do what God called me to do. But the one thing about the God who I'm serving is that he has never given up on me. He is still blessing me in spite of me. And since God is blessing me in spite of me, I believe that the Lord will provide. Do I got anybody in God's house who understands that we serve a God who will provide? Even when we've messed up, God still provides. Even when we don't do what we need to do, God still provides. All God wants to know, are you willing to activate your faith by moving forward in your works and doing what God is calling you to do? Are you able to say, Lord, I am trusting you. I am trusting you. Stay with that. We get into the other part later. I am trusting you. This is where Abraham is right now. Through his faith, he's saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. So while they get there, he ties his son to this altar, this makeshift altar. I can see him with tears in his eyes. But he understands something. If the Lord giveth, that's hard, ain't it? He takes the knife, raises it above his head, but then all of a sudden something happens. He may not come when you want him, but he'll beat it because he's an all-time God. Don't you know at that point God said, hold up, wait a minute. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. He said, hold up. Wait a minute. I got something in store for you. Now I know without a shadow of a doubt, there's nothing that you trust more than me. And now that I know that there's nothing you trust more than me, look over there in the bush. I got a ram in the bush for you. You go get that ram. Untie your son. Sacrifice that lamb. Because now I know you are not just somebody who's just walking the walk. You are talking the talk. You put your trust in me. The totality of your being you have now put into my presence. And when you put your whole self in the presence of God, you will not leave bruised. Don't you know when you give yourself all to God, God's going to bless all of you. But you won't know how God can bless all of you until you give all of yourself to God. Because you got to say, Lord, I'm trusting. And once Abraham got to that point, y'all, what he realized is that he had now become a friend of God. You see, in order for you to see your faith come to completion, you have to activate your faith through your works. And when you activate your faith through your works, the two of them together will bring it to completion. And when God sees the fulfillment of what you have done, don't you know that God will do what others think he should? So since he believed God, it was reckoned to him as what? Righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Do I got anybody in God's house that wants to get right with God? You see, it ain't about getting right with pastor, right with reverend, Rhodes, Reverend Flippin, deacon such and such, trustee such and such. All of us in here ought to want to be getting right with. You see, because the only one that can heal, deliver you, and set you free is God. The only one that will provide for you is. So do I got anybody in God's house right now who wants to get right with God? Because if I don't get right with God, then things can't get right in my life. You see, my brothers and sisters, what God wants us to do is get right. Oh, I can stay here and preach another 20 minutes, but I got to move on. I got to move on. You know why I got to move on? Because then we have the other. We had the old man who came. Then we have the Reverend Rhodes. The Bible says in verse 25, I need to make sure I'm reading it right. Help me if I ain't. He says, likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute. That's what it said. It's okay for me to say it. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers? Some translations might say spies, and sent them out by another road. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not perfect, but God is blessing me. Yeah, there's something we gotta look at. And what we got to look at is this. This woman made her money by giving herself to anybody who had money to give her to get her body. Ain't that what a prostitute is? Stay focused. Come back with me. All y'all, come on back. Come back. Stay with me. Now, what we have to see here, Brother Jack, is the Bible does something here. It specifically identifies a woman who had some indiscretions in her life. A woman who lived a life that many sisters in here wouldn't trade places with her. No matter how much money she made, y'all wouldn't trade places with her. And she had her house built into the wall of Jericho. And the reason why she was there at the beginning, on Deacon Alex, was whenever strangers came in, the most thing strangers wanted to know is where the house at. And as long as the house is right up front, we ain't got to go all the way in our city. Go right up here, right front. Do what you're going to do, and then go on about your merry way. We all adults, and I ain't going no worse than that. But what we got to understand is that the Bible did not cut no corners. Sister Rhodes, it called her what she was. What she was a prostitute. Now, the question is, how did she hear about God? Well, you can go back and look at Joshua chapter 2 when the two spies were sent out and they came to Jericho. She realized who they were. She said, we heard about y'all. We heard about how your God took y'all when y'all were slaves and he parted the Red Sea for y'all. Y'all walked across on dry ground, and once y'all all got to the other side, when the Egyptians came to follow you, the water came back and they drowned. And God's hand has been upon y'all ever since. And now that y'all are here in what is called y'all promised land, every enemy that y'all have fought so far, y'all have defeated and depleted. And I believe in the word of God because I've heard the message. Once I heard the message of the power of your God, I knew it would be a day when y'all would be coming. And I knew I'd be the first to see you just to determine whether or not you're a customer or somebody I need to hire. And when she saw who they were, she made it her business to hide them out. And it's amazing that when they heard strangers was in the town, don't you know that the first place they went to, Brother Red, was to her house? They could have went a lot of places. But if there's strangers in the town, they went to her house. Because the one thing they know is that every stranger that come through, whether they stop by for a long time or a short time, she knew all that was going on. I'm telling you what it was. And don't you know that when they came, she could have said, here they are, get them. She hit them up in the rafters and told them, they was through here, but they went that away. Down that way, that direction. So at night when they closed the gates and they went off, she told these brothers that, wait a minute, now you saw what I did for y'all, because I did this because I believe in the power of your God. I heard the message and I received the message and I'm believing the message, so I'm stepping out on faith. But wait a minute, look at your lifestyle. How could you try to put trust in a God who is considered to be pure and holy, but there's nothing pure and holy about you or your lifestyle? Well, the reality was that was my words. What she was realizing was that her saving these men, God was giving her a second chance. You see, my brothers and my sisters, there are some things we've done in our past we ain't too happy about, but God has given us a
another chance. You see, but I said second, but I really meant to say never. Because what I want you to understand is this. Because if God just gave us a second chance, I still don't think it'd be anybody in God's house. Because when he gave us that second chance, we started off okay. But somewhere along the line, we still tripped up Jennifer and we fell. So I'm so glad God has given us another chance. I thank God he ain't give up on us. And what she said to them is that I'm letting you know I believe in the power of your God. And she wasn't just saying it. She believed it because she hit him. And what God instructed them to just let her know. Look, you put up this scarlet cloth in your door. You bring everybody in your house. That's your family. You keep them safe in your house. And when you hear everything happening, don't y'all dare come out. Because if anybody come out, we can't be responsible for what's going to happen. So if y'all just stay right up in here, y'all going to be all right. And don't you dare come out. Don't you dare tell anybody. You just do what we instruct you to do. And guess what, y'all? When they came back and the walls of Jericho fell, I want you to know, Deacon Booth, I truly believe she changed her occupation. I don't believe she was no longer what she was. You see, my brothers and my sisters, do I have anybody in here that changed their occupation? Because the life of sin had us so tore up from the flow up. But once we came to the Lord, he showed us grace and mercy. We've been covered in the blood of the Lamb. So I don't know about you, but God changed my occupation. Oh. I was a sinner who has now been made a saint. So God has changed our occupation. Once you accept Jesus Christ, your occupation has been changed. And not just your occupation. I want you to know you got a new itinerary. You no longer got a ticket that's taking you down. You got a ticket that's taking you up. Do I got anybody whose occupation has been changed? Do I got anybody whose itinerary has been changed? And the only reason why it happened is because you stepped out on. So when Sister Girl did what she did, don't you know? I know she changed her occupation because she is now listed in the lineage of Jesus. And since she's listed in that lineage, that let me know that God changed her because she stepped out on. So what am I telling you? We have two folk in here, which others might consider that God couldn't use because of the fact that these seem to be the two least likely individuals that would ever step out on faith. But what James was letting us all know, that some of us are seeing ourselves as being too old. Some of us are seeing ourselves as being the sins we've committed that we are incapable now of moving forward in faith. But what I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, no matter what you've done, no matter how old you are, I'm here to tell you that God can still use you. God, all God wants to know is, are you willing to step out on faith and say, Lord, I am trusting you. You see, if you're old, it's easy for you to say, well, God, I can't kick as high as I used to. God ain't asking you to kick high. All God is telling you to just do is kick. And as long as you keep kicking, before you know, you'd be kicking higher than you thought you ever could. And before you know, you might kick higher than what you had kicking when you was out there in the world. And then there's some folks saying, Lord, there's no way you can use me. You know what kind of sinner I was? You know, I mean, they called me such a dog. It seemed like wherever I went, fleas were just falling all off me. But don't you know that God can still take you? And don't you know God can clean you of all your fleas? And when I'm talking about sin. I'm just using it metaphorically. Are you working with me? I want you to understand there's no sin that you have committed. There's no life of sin that you have lived that God still can't use you if you step out on faith. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, that the God whom we serve will continue to take you and use you no matter what you did on yesterday. God isn't focusing on what you did yesterday. God wants to know, what are you going to do right now? Are you saying, Lord, I'm trusting you because I'm all in? And if you're saying that, I'm here to tell you today that God can take you, and no matter what state you are in, God can turn you around. God can heal you. God can deliver you. God can get the glory out of your life. You see, my brothers and sisters, God ain't looking for perfect folk. Because if he was looking for perfect folk, he would have never came out and see us. Amen. It's because we were the way we are, God still loves us. He gave his all in sending his son. And his son gave his all to create an opportunity for you and I. And now that he's created that opportunity for you and I, why are you focusing on the wrong in your life rather than praising God for bringing something that can get you right? You see, God didn't send Jesus down here to keep us wrong. God didn't send Jesus down here for us to put the mud of sin in our face. God sent Jesus down to let us know that there is a better way. There is a healer. There is a deliverer. You can get yourself fixed up. You can get yourself turned around. All you got to do is step out on faith and say, Lord, I'm trusting you because I am. You see, my brothers and my sisters, do I got any all-in folk? I know in your life there was a time you was all-in with sin, but now that you got Jesus, I want you to know you need to be all-in with him because he's the only one that can take us from nothing and make something out of us. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I got anybody in God's house who saw themselves as a nothing? But once you came to the Lord, didn't he do a great thing with you? Didn't he bless you? Didn't he turn you around? Didn't he make a way for you? I'm telling you, Lord, I'm trusting in you because I am. The struggle. The struggle. The struggle. The struggle. It's like you watching the news. How often do you hear a feel-good story on the news? If you get up and watch the, well, I watch NBC. If you get up at 4:30 in the morning, up until 6:56, you hear about all that's wrong. But we're going to close the show with a... You just spent 2 hours and 26 minutes telling me everything that's wrong. But now you're going to take a minute and tell me about a feel-good story. Think about it. And then you wonder why our thinking is more negative than positive. What are you allowing yourself to be filled with? That's a decision that all of us have to make. Because what you're being filled with will determine, Pat, how you go. If all you ever hear is no, then you will always immediately say, so when somebody asks you something, your first response is no. Because of the fact that it's hard for you to see the yes because you've been told no for so long. Think about Abraham, Sarah. All them years together, they wanted to believe the yes. But all they kept getting was a no. You know how we know it was a no? Because she never came up pregnant. Are you hearing me? And then all of a sudden, God just shows up. 75, telling him what he going to be. And he going to be father of many nations. God was saying, don't give up on the yes. Continue to hope and pray. And they got the answer. And then we look at someone like a Rahab, who is on the outside looking in. But her faith was inside, even though she was, oh, somebody working with me. And God took her from the outside and brought her to. Because while she was on there, all she heard was the. No. Right? But once she touched the. Even though she was on the. God told her. Do y'all see how this is working? And you see how far God has brought us? By the renewing of our minds, God is teaching us the yes, so that we'll get rid of the no. Where are